Hello, everyone. Asha, are you there?
Hi, Q. Happy day.
Hi, Q. Again, our favorite board game. Welcome to Project Review with Q. Let's say the solutions inbox for the universe, wouldn't you say?
Love it. That's exactly true.
It's the universal love box, and let's do this. I have a couple items I wanted to talk about today, but would you like to start first so I can get up to speed with my topics, or how would you like to play today?
I love it when you start.
Okay. I'm going to go through a couple sandboxers and proformas today. I'll have more invitations going out this week again, so make sure you keep your subscriptions going so I can keep in contact with you. And our folks can make sure we're supporting and helping here as we go forward. But I'm working due diligence to do a lot of one-on-one work, and I'm getting a few things done here, and I want to talk about that first. And the first thing I want to talk about is in our dialogue with not only the sandboxes, conceptions and the proformas, I've gotten to meet a lot of interesting people and become aware of a lot of interesting dialogue around our planet. And one of them that I've always been passionate about and may have been geographically challenged at time was the way in which our assumed governments have colonized continents. Or at least the governments we have inherited and we work with, we assume we work with. It's been a great privilege to work with Polynesians, people of Hawaii. But this one, this last week, was incredibly personal to me. And this is in regard to the legacy tribes and Aboriginals of Australia, and in this case, Northern Australia. And I must thank my dear mechanical friend and civil friends out of Greater Perth area for helping me get a hold of some Aboriginal elders. And I had the great, great honor of going to the Tiwi Islands last week and starting to understand the politics there. And I am calling out, because we do have an Australian lawyer that I will be reaching out to this week too, and want to strategize on how we get the story straightened out a little bit here in many of the places. You know, I made sure that Captain Cook and the gang did a lot of work in their day, and we got to turn this around. And in my assessment anyway, and that's what the draw to Project Q is, the more we all have the same end in mind, the same goal in mind, the faster these things happen in the universe now. So if we all don't appreciate apartheid, as an example, we're going to change it because more of us don't appreciate it. If we all don't want to use the U.S. dollar anymore, we're not going to. It's just that easy. The more momentum we get, I know I'm a broken record on this, the more we see the end in our mind, the more it actually shows up. So in this case, there's some great politics around the Aboriginal people, and it's a very old culture there that can't be standardized with just the Aboriginals. They're very old, don't get me wrong, but there's been a lot of races. If you look at in the greater Lemurian continent, you will see that this was more or less the birthing center of your planet, at least for mammalians. Even to this day, a huge I'll call them herds, because I think it's more fun to call them herds. Herds of humpback whales go up and down that continent, just like on the Alaska and the Pacifics, on the other side of the Pacific. It's a birthing area for much life. And of course, that's why it's attacked so incredibly by, used to be a very dark queen. It's no longer doing that anymore. But in any event, what I want to get at is when I started listening to people and its relationship, it's assumed that the compromisation was revenue back to the people, much like they did it in North America. Here you go. You guys just shut up and build some casinos. Here you go. You guys get your $15,000 a month check and just be quiet. And that works for a while. And there's similar strategy in Australia is, okay, we're going to give you jobs and you get paid and you get monthly checks, stipends, whatever you like to call it. And by the way, we'll give you some area where it's only your revenue. That's not good enough for me. Because they're lobbying now that, well, you get a seat at the table now and you get more rights now when we go to vote for things. Well, we didn't agree with your court systems in the first place, and we wouldn't have this problem if you guys didn't have court systems, et cetera, et cetera. So we beat that drum all day. Well, now this is starting to pick up speed, like you may have heard me say before. And now we can make this a project, and I'm ready to own this project too, and see who else wants. So that's my call out to everybody here. If you have a passion for getting the straight story on, I don't want to call out Australia per se. What I'd like to do is the government. I'd like to. My suggestion for this project is: how are the natives of all of these colonized continents and countries? How is it that we don't just flip them over again? So I don't want to call it any one. I'd like us to start putting together a model for substantiating why a continent is owned by a family that doesn't exist anymore. Why did we vote the Queen's laws into place, as example, in Australia or England and so forth? So whether it's maritime law or otherwise, I'm ready to make a model, a template for sovereignty for these people, whether it's Cook Islands, Tahiti, New Zealand, all of them, I feel the case study on them is unique, don't get me wrong, but I feel the messaging and the opportunity to flip these legacy European, let's be nice here. The way in which these individuals have been abducted, it needs to be standardized how we right or wrong here is my assessment. But a little long-winded, forgive me. All right, next subject. So anyone that has a passion for that, please send in a project there. I'll need a lot of help. I am going to call a few people again this week. Next update, Ocean Track. I promised an update there. Ocean Track. I am literally looking at the first vessel in survey right now. And she sleeps 20 young children, beautiful children, and 5 crew. And she's about 35 meters, and she's an ex-training vessel. And I feel I'll have a straight answer for you by the end of the week whether or not she is going to be incorporated in the Ocean Trek package. But what's interesting about this vessel is it's rigged, heavily rigged to support shipping containers and or cars and vessels, and so it can go to work with maybe moving. Maybe Asha's house across the world. Maybe you can just put your house on my boat and I'll just move you to Hawaii. Anyway, it's a great platform to put someplace remote. And I feel this one is probably going to start, drum roll please. If you look at Fenders Island above Tasmania or King Island, somewhere in there, but maybe somewhere else, but probably Greater Tasmania is my assessment. What do you think about that one, Asha?
Well, you describe it so beautifully. It sounds wonderful there. I want to move there. Are you still there?
I'm still here. Thank you. It never fails. Never fails. I get a distraction when I get rolling here. So that's good news. And so, the reason I want to bandstand a little bit on Ocean Trek is because the way I've watched it progress hasn't been perfect and has been perfect at the same time. So as an example, I haven't found one person that does not like my idea of Ocean Trek. Okay, so as a group, all of us say, so however many people we have in PRQ now, and listening to the shows, wow, that's a great idea. I want involved in that. Okay, what do you want to do there? I want to polish the wheelhouse windows. Okay, great. All right, so now how do we represent everyone's passion when it's just one person looking for the resources? So we can apply this to farming, healthcare, healing, et cetera, manufacturing. All right, so what I want is I want to go find a vessel that supports everyone's input they've given me, and I've got a lot. And I want to do it multiple times. All right, so now I'm going to be the guy that can find the tool. So I find these vessels, and the ones that are like from a 1 to 10 or about a 5 or 6, they seem like they would suit the purpose of everybody's, but something goes a little sideways with either the vessel isn't as good shape as the guy promoted, or just not quite a good fit, or just a lot of weird tweaks to it. And then all of a sudden, it may not complement everyone's passion as well, but it's a boat that's in a good location and it can get a lot of people in there. But then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this golden gem shows up and the whole world stops for me to go look at it. Like somehow, some way, all the resources, everything just shows up. And now I feel I can proof that, explain it in words, and show you how to do it. And there's a lot of sequence of events along with this dialogue. But I'm real sure that I can proof the way I've done it now. And as it moves forward, watch the people who show up to join me. And they'll have the synchronicity of getting to where the boats are somehow, some shape or form, just because of the horsepower behind their passion, whether it's homeschool groups or scientists that want to do their private work, or just people who want to have a vacation. It's really fascinating to me to watch it get momentum because of all of you. Pretty fascinating when you say, Asha.
And it's really beautiful to watch it all unfold with you.
I don't know. I'm not always the best dancer, as you know, but I feel this should be getting easier for everybody. And I look forward to, in the healing groups, getting, if I can get a compartment there and do the one-on-one work or group work. And so that's my great encouragement. We'll start, as I get settled down here, we'll start publishing the steps that I took from my heart instead of my head. And that's what I'm really, a little long-winded, sorry, that I'm prepared to discuss now, is when you do use your heart, all of a sudden these things show up. And we used Yosemite Ranch, I think, last time. But recognizing how you do it from your heart and your mind seems to be the great messaging I need to work on, and we all can work on now, is what is it, when I ask Lucia and Nicole Evans, what is it that's happening to us that we can explain that's different than when we use the mind? Would you have an opinion, Asha?
A long one, so I'd love to hear what Lucia says first.
Well, she holds her space. She makes space and observes it. So it doesn't have to be, you can't name it, you can't touch it, you can't really shape it. You hold space for the intention to create an intention almost. Okay? So I'm excited doesn't exist yet if you're just in a perfect space, peace, right? Then the step moves forward because you're slowing it down, recognizing it, and then doing it. Does that make sense?
Yes. Is that how you do it?
Yes. And so I was doing it naturally And I realized with your help and others saying, you know, nobody understands a word you're saying, and I don't understand a word you're saying anyway. And I'm like, well, you just use your heart and you go within. Like, okay. And I didn't realize, dude, I didn't realize I did it naturally and nobody else was. And so now part of that component is I'm doing less choices now so I can prove diagnostically how to get people to stay there. And the best way I have found is to command your spirit to take the thoughts in your head and put them in your heart. And when you do it, how come you don't stay there? That's the best I have found until I can get taught another way. And so once you take the thoughts in your head and put them in your heart, those choices are actually broader, way broader, because it doesn't have boundaries. It doesn't have rules. It doesn't have regulations. It doesn't have doubt. It doesn't have fear. It doesn't have guilt. It doesn't have greed. It doesn't have lust. It just has desire. That makes sense.
Yes, and there's something else that doesn't have any of those things.
What? You're setting me up, I know.
The easiest and most fun way I have found to create is to be a child. I'm a little kid, and I'm so excited. And as a little kid, we have no limitations. We can do anything, and then it all comes together.
Yeah, that's why you call me the Q-ster, to remind me to get off the slide, so it's your turn. Okay. Yeah, I know. Of course, you're always going to turn me into your little brother somehow. I know it. Yeah, and so that's the best I can do. And now we've got a couple models now. You know, we've got the healers rolling with a couple models. We've got the farmers with a couple models. Now they're gonna be very unique to each individual, but you're gonna find there's gonna be a lot of similarities. And that's what I'm excited about, these next rounds that we get pushed through here, is because we want to. We're working when we want to, how we want to, and it's really fun. And that's my encouragement for you. And just keep banging on our door, and then I will go as long as you all want to go. So anything from you, Asha? Otherwise, I had some other items I might do.
Thank you. I just wanted to point out that the boat you're looking at has an incredible wheelhouse, which would be a really great space for kids to learn. And you've got a lot of groups that want to do that.
Yeah, this is a training facility. And I'm thrilled about it because it does have the educational classrooms. And so that also taught me that that's most likely what Ocean Trek started with and has the most desire from you all and or the people that are inspired to get out on the water safely and in remote places, as an example. And then as an example, another example, the mermaid, she's getting very excited about a vessel that has birthing suites and raw water births, salt water births in beautiful Caribbean waters somewhere or South Pacific waters. And so that boat, obviously, its passion and the people that want to do that, those boats are going to look different, I will assume. Have no idea what they'll look like. But we will move on to her excitement next and see how that works. It's just so thrilling to me to remind us that we are children. That you're well done, Asha. And so to have a wheelhouse that is a classroom, and teach people how to tie a knot on a chalkboard and navigate at the same time. And to be, I always felt when I was at sea, it was just awful being up in the wheelhouse all day. I loved it. I always loved it. But no one was up there with you. So it's just thrilling that people can participate and learn to stand and watch, get their hands a little dirty, and by the way, get to go home and do it next year. And so I just can't wait to be that person and do project review in the wheelhouse. Maybe we get some good videos too. Wouldn't that be fun? And then we're going to make Don get out of the studio for sure.
Yeah. For sure.
The radio boat. But anyway, anything you want to chat about?
Well, Also, we have maybe 5 or 6 times the amount of people that are interested in Ocean Trek that would fit on this boat, for example. So let's encourage more and more people to do exactly what you're doing. Be playful. Find the boat that you want that's going to coincide with how you want to do your Ocean Trek, and start to tell us what you found, and start to tell us what you want to do with that boat. And we can put you together with people to help make that happen. So, you know, Q just uses his heart, and we all have a heart to use. So he's found this incredible boat. He's going to be playing with it tomorrow, maybe. And that happened intrinsically. So everyone can do that. And again, there's so many people interested in Ocean Trek. We have enough people to have already maybe 6 or 7 boats, correct?
Yeah, it would seem to me that the Pacific side seems to be the most popular because we understand that geography. So a lot of people are from California or Mexico or North America, Hawaii, and so forth. And so, yeah, I feel that is just booming, and it's going to complement the Spirit Ranches, I'll call them the Spirit Ranches, gosh darn it, and the and comedy clubs, all the summer camp models and spiritual awakening models, self realization models, all complement Ocean Trek for me. As nothing better than to have 20, 30 small cabins on a beach somewhere where you can go collaborate, explore nature. And pretty soon, maybe we'll find someone who has a 747 passion. You know, we can get some people flying around and so forth. Anyway, the momentum is not slowing down, especially, you know, you keep posting. Thank you for the spirit.space, correct?
That's correct.
And now you're starting to see. So you got to remember, when Asha and I start working on this, it's just, I don't even know if Asha's really excited about it. She goes, that's a great idea. That's cool. Maybe when I get 5 minutes, when I'm not working, I'll throw something up, et cetera, et cetera. Now look at it. And, you know, we just started conceptualizing what feels fun today. Sometimes I ask Asha, I go, what's your 5-year plan? And she says to me, she goes, I only know right now. I only know my excitement right now. Forgive me if I'm putting words in your mouth. I go, so what do you want to do this next couple of weeks? I just want to do right now. That's typically been your answer. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And so that's all I'm doing too. I'm just doing right now is the best I can do to explain it. And each time I do right now, another puzzle piece shows up. But it wasn't from thinking how it should work, just looking for the next piece to go in the puzzle, I suppose, is one way to look at it. But it's been really fun, and it's going to be my great joy to show everyone how to do it. And we're going to do it a bunch of times. I'm going to grab some more projects as well. And then Project Career Youth Q is also intended to be your networking and collaboration. So as this grows, I have now a way to put other trades and services together with you. And so stay tuned. It's my great encouragement as we ebb and flow here. We're going to keep this going for a while. And I'm in great honor, respect, and appreciation for everyone who submitted. And I love you all. And I'll keep going here. Any other news you want to chat about, Miss Asha?
Well, Mr. Q, I would like to point out that it's really fun for me to watch you continually incorporate more of what you love about life into Ocean Trek. And you love to cook. Would you like to share your ideas there?
Oh, man, how do you know that? Yeah, so one of the opportunities when you have a good-sized vessel sitting at the dock, it's a tool. It's a schoolhouse. And I find it great fun for chefs to be able to use a full-scale commercial kitchen and get our kiddos savvy at prepping food and understanding food, where food comes from, etc., and complements our modern education system, I would expect. But it's not something I might ever really want to do full-time. Although I do love cooking, I do it when I'm excited about doing it. Whereas other people might like to do it more often, well, they can use the boat to do that. And bringing the troops and having a big back deck, you know, having, you know, 40-foot back deck and throw out some picnic tables, we got something there. And why don't we have gatherings there too while it's sitting at the dock? It's just so much opportunity to have education that our kiddos don't necessarily get every day, whether it's really the opportunity. I'm doing my best to explain is when you're on a boat, mortality, your views of mortality as a young person change. And so as an example, the kids go to school, they come home, they have dinner, clean their room, whatever, go to bed, walk, wake up, do it again. They don't really have to take care of the house. Mom and dad do that. And by the way, the house isn't going to sink if I don't make sure it's taken care of. So as you can see, what I'm getting at, on a boat, this goes for adults too. If you don't take care of this girl, that's why they're all named ladies, on the water, it's not going to take care of you. Yeah. At the risk of being everybody's mentor of reasonability, but I'm being facetious that it's really fun to see mortality from each individual's point of view, because you take better care of things. You take better care of yourself. As an example, if you're going to sail somewhere for 7 days, you better have 14 days of food and water. What if the boat breaks down, etc. So you just take better care would be my assessment. And it's the proper way to trade amongst each other. I'm very curious of how we'll do that. I want to break all the trade laws almost overnight if I can. Islanders to islanders should be able to trade with each other regardless of licensing agreements and so forth. So again, that blends itself into free trade, free bartering, true standardized bartering. And then, of course, the education that comes with working with people that are different ethnicity is just endless and very, very, very nourishing for me, at least. And I the feedback I'm getting, it's very, very authentic to the way we like to collaborate with other societies. How am I going to keep going? I've been talking for 3 hours.
I have another question.
Yes, please.
Let's say you love making breakfast and you are not going to use money. Everything is barter. So how would you barter for breakfast?
How would you barter for breakfast? Okay, wait a minute. This is loaded. This is really a loaded question, because is this in my family or is this out to at a restaurant?
Well, let's say you create a restaurant on the boat and you're the cook.
Well, instantly, let's make it a restaurant. Okay. So now the boat doesn't have any food. If you bring food, I'll cook it for you. Would be one. And well, now how about the guys down the dock want food too? I don't only brought enough food for them. Well, if they brought their food, you could have a shared food system and a shared kitchen maintained by the people who use food, and it could grow from there. So not only are the people buying food, doing the prep work, cleaning the dishes, maintaining the kitchen, they're also sustaining the donation of the food and or vegetables in this case, or something else. Or vice versa. So what happens here is now the cost associated with the assumed deliverable isn't even in the game, is it? It's not even a conversation, is it?
Nope.
So you're just, the outcome is the only thing we've talked about here. We like breakfast. We need breakfast to be cooked. That's all there is. And we don't have any chickens. We better get some chickens. Does somebody who has chickens like cooked eggs, et cetera, et cetera? So that's the way I would see it.
Excellent. And you're not going to have, let's say you don't have Wi-Fi, but you're going to offer a greater connection.
Oh, the The water does an incredible thing to your body. If you take time to stand in the ocean, you can, and probably need to go in a little deeper, but if you stand in the ocean and you start asking the ocean questions, it will give you the answers. Because every water molecule is talking to another one. Now, the reason it doesn't do it until you ask and or ask permission is because it takes such great care of being in peace, neutrality, until it reacts to a situation, tides, wind, etc. So that's what's so amazing about water, is it's always in a state of peace until it reacts to an event. Quite interesting, isn't it? So that's why a lot of our mammals are so aware, is because as a school, they can communicate not only with each other instantly, they can communicate with the ocean, giving them the feedback. And in many cases, this is the time of year we need to go breed, because the ocean gave them the clues. I'll give you a microscopic example, but that is fascinating to me, because that's tools that humans have, for the most part, forgot, unless you're a pearl diver or you live with the ocean daily. And it's a very authentic way to communicate when you are fishing and you do need that sustenance, that resource. The fish will nominate themselves to help you. And so living below deck of a vessel helps recalibrate your natural tools to do that. Is that what you're gleaning for?
Beautiful explanation. And also, in the old days of higher consciousness, the mermaids would guide the lost sailors. Would you like to share about that?
Yeah, it's dangerous, but I'll share it. Yeah, the mermaids were very noble, very noble. And you still have mer people on your planet, quite a few. And they realize that you've lost a relationship with them. And we'll get it back, though. But the mer people had the ability to, when you hear the myths and mythical stories of mer people being able to go on land and at sea, what they're referring to is mer people have the ability to turn into a human and then turn back into their aquatic being. And I think you've maybe heard Billy and Jane explain that. And that was what was normal for us when we were mer people. And all of us, I'd say most of the population on this planet was a mer person at one time. And that's been taken away from us probably. I'd argue the Lemurian time, you're starting to throttle that back. And it's not a time, it's just a genetic change. As an example, a lot of times you see whales beaching themselves. I believe I've said on the show several times. That's them. If they see an environmental issue, they'll work hard to die on the beach so they can make the transition into a human to right a wrong, as an example. Or they may choose to want to be a human. So when they leave the body, they'll inherit a mammalian. And so you're able to do that too. You're able to go backwards, forward and backwards, if you like, if that's what you want to call it. You're just changing the type of mammal you are. And so that's fascinating information. And that's my great encouragement. If we can get more people teaching, breaking down those ancient myths, and no better than having the children do that for us, huh?
Exactly. And they might be able to teach us what the mermaids still do during a storm, when they can talk to the water and calm it down for safe passage.
Yeah, it's those are all true stories. They can do grid work. Whales can do grid work too. A lot of the grid work you see whales do is with harmonics. So all mer people have that ability too. So a lot of the times you see the whales pointing down towards the bottom of the ocean. That's them recalibrating, reconfiguring the planet in many cases, and themselves. And so they consider it another being. Forgive me, I'm sure I've said that one too many times.
It's always enjoyable. I love hearing you talk about the ocean.
I get a little skip in my step, don't I?
You do, Mr. Poseidon.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm like, so it's really pulling me, and I don't know that I'll ever be happier doing a PRQ show on a boat. It'll just be amazing, and to have a bunch of little ones cheering in the background. Keister, Keister, come on, let's go, Keister. So I endlessly want to be at summer camp, and so I'm looking forward to that and getting the other summer camps up to speed, so we have a place to visit. And anyway, did you update anything else on any of the web pages regarding projects by chance? You always come up with these people that can make bricks out of oxygen and stuff. Did you find any more items like that?
Well, there's one video on there we haven't spoken about yet. It's Big Talk, and it's this beautiful girl, Kalina, who went around and asked perfect strangers very important questions. Did you see that one?
Yeah, that was my homework. okay, are you able to play it right now? Is that too tricky for you, Don, or us, or not? Because that was just shocking. So my favorite one was it looked like everything's pretty much in Southern California. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
The one that blew my mind is this, what appears to be the uptight businessman, suit and tie, briefcase. I want all of those, every one of those people has got to go on Ocean Track with me, no doubt about it. But that guy, he's the last person you thought he was going to flip. You didn't think you'd get that out of him, did you?
Right, exactly.
It was so good. What was the premise for, it's called Big Talk, forgive me?
Big Talk, and it's on the For the Spirit .space, and it's under Inspiration. It's the last one under that.
Okay, so what was the premise for it to start with? Because it looked like it was pretty organized, but now I'm starting to feel it was a little spontaneous. How did it work?
The feeling I got was it was a project that she was given to come up with for school. And she just went around with her camera and got permissions to use it on YouTube and asked all these different people questions.
Okay, and so how did she formulate the question? What was the premise for the question?
Something that would get them connected to their spirit. So I'll ask you some of the questions. If I recall, what would you like to do before you die?
Oh, I remember that one. That was so good. And every time she asked it to all these different people in different locations, they all went, whoa, never put that one together.
Yeah.
They were at loss, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
What's my answer? Watch. Exactly what I'm doing right this moment.
I knew that was going to be your answer. Me too.
There's exactly the next moment I make the next choice. I just don't have, I do remember fully implanted where I go, one day I'm going to go to Hawaii or something. Some zealous goal that didn't really make any sense except self-service. Yeah, I haven't had that hindrance in a very long time, and that's my great encouragement not to make light of me, light of the light, as I call it. But there was almost no one that answered that way, was there?
Not one.
Yeah, and they really had to ponder it.
A long time.
So this gal, what did she get out of it? What is she going to do with the material? I mean, obviously she put the video up. What can she now do? How do we put it into play? Do you know this person? Can we get her on a show or get her on a PRQ call?
I'll look for her.
Okay. So it seems like we've got something there where we can do follow. So we could either do another round of it, or we could do follow up with these people that got asked, assuming they got aware the video was going up and they could watch themselves. What can they do differently now to invert that to knowing what they will do the rest of their life?
Yes. And what I found really fascinating is these people, perfect strangers, opened up and spilled their heart and talked about the most intimate aspects of their life because someone asked them.
So just because this person took great care and so she's a perfect stranger, comes up, "Do you mind if I ask you a question and videotape?" "Yeah, go ahead." That you're not always going to get 100 out of 100 on that, are you? But she seemed to get it every time, didn't she?
Everything on that video, it appeared to be received as a great compliment. She would ask them something very important about themselves.
Why didn't I think of that? Gosh,
you do it all the time on every call.
Man, I should get better at this. I might do a round of that. My favorite one recently is when I've given the Ocean Trek narrative to several people, and of course we reference Q on there as the deliverables. And the people go, "Who's Q?" He's and I'm saying this to these people who have no idea about the radio shows, so forth. So, it's a passionate person within our group in Ocean Trek, just loves to help kids and do this and that. And Q's greatest excitement has always been to make water camps, and we want to use big boats to do it with and so forth. "Wow, who's this Q guy?" "He's just this guy. He's this great guy. And, and you know, you should get on the show." You know, one of his friends has this webpage called forthepeople.space, and it explains what Q is and who he is and everything. You should probably read that once in a while, and you'll get a little bit of information, might help you with your life. Anyway, I could instantly incorporate her dialogue. I'm not so sure I like the videotape thing, but maybe we could make this go viral. Everybody runs around to everybody and says, "What do you want to do the rest of your life, before you die?" What if we all did it at once?
Wow.
What would happen?
That's a great idea. Well, look what happened to those people. It changed their life to be interviewed like that, it appeared.
It really did. And that's my great encouragement too, is if we would just get rid of the boundaries, it will happen. I will never tire of explaining it, because I know how powerful everybody is. And I know you outside of these bodies, and I know you inside these bodies too, but we're so vast. We're so good at this. So that's my great encouragement, is to keep asking yourself that question. That was brilliantly done. And now I don't want you to play it, so everyone will go and have to go look it up. So that'd be good news.
Thank you. And that reminds me, we have a lot of people on PRQ that just wanted to do something to help. And that might be one thing to do, to go out and interview people, make a video, put it up on YouTube. Because what happened when I saw those people is it accessed their spirit. Their spirit got activated. And that's the whole point. Mm-hmm. We want the spirit to come alive.
Yep, and then get them in the hopper with us, and let's see what projects they come up with. And that's what PRQ is for. Sorry to be a commercial today, but is really, let's quit talking about stuff and let's do stuff. You know, we owe it to ourselves. Let's do what we want now, and that's it. Let's just do what we want now, and the gloves are off, if you will. These governments are falling apart right before your eyes. There's just nothing going on there. So you can do whatever you want now. I guarantee you. It takes some alignment, some organizational alignment, and so forth. But I'd say now this is the time is just perfect for all of us.
Well said. Thank you.
Unless you work for the IRS, right?
Well, it's their opportunity to do something fun for a change.
I did not think you were going to bring that up on the air. They've always been my arch nemesis. I'm not worried about them anymore.
No one should.
It's a funny group. Do you go to? Is that really your highest excitement, to go to school and learn to be an IRS agent? How is that your highest joy? Is there like an IRS camp somewhere or something?
I always wondered the same thing.
Like,
like what?
Now, you think about all the times you went into a bank and you go, so these guys just love banking, or what is it they do here? It just looks like they sit here with really nice clothes on and just help me go get my things that I need to go use to help other people. So I guess they're a service provider, but I don't know. But what service do they provide? They don't provide a service. So I lost the argument with myself when going around in circles. But that's what's so fascinating. Of course, there's bankers listening to me right now throwing shoes at the radio. But what I'm getting at is that it's not going to make sense very soon. And it's not to be disrespectful. A lot of us have had to do a lot of things to survive. But if you do start studying BRICS and some of the other models that are out there, I'm not endorsing BRICS or anything else, but you'll notice they don't have an office. They don't have a middleman. They don't have mission statements. They don't have rules or anything. Yeah. I'll assume you've read up on some of these models.
And they don't have a central bank to...
Yeah, they don't have... Yeah, it's just you and the other guy is your means of exchange. How many puka shells you want? I want 1,000. Okay, 1,000 puka shells it is. And so it makes instant fun of money right here and now. Is if we when we derate all of our money, it is exciting to me because we're going to realize we got hoodwinked, and everybody in an inflationary housing market will appreciate that, I assume. And it will be a little confusing at first, but once we realize that everyone deserves shelter. And everyone deserves resources. Things will get a lot easier, I see. But you're in California, so everything's free there. I know that.
Oh, totally free. No taxes. It's just Shangri-La.
Yeah. But at least you can drive fast. It's the only place you can drive fast to State Patrol is California.
No, there's Germany. The Autobahn.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
And New York. New York, Manhattan. You can drive as fast as you want and go through red lights.
Yeah, that's a pretty good place to do that. It's California. There's just so much potential still there. I know people live there and not had maybe the best experience, but man, it's exciting to see people changing there. Is that a fair statement?
It is so exciting. The people here are so beautiful and so loving and kind and passionate and excited and creative. And every day they're just smiling, and it's a very inspirational place to be.
Yeah. Do you feel the energetics have had a big part of it, or is it the timing of when you get that many people in one area? I feel like that there is some weight to the what is the term used in the spiritual woo-woo club group, the thousand monkey effect. Wouldn't you say that that does have some play, because more or less the scuttlebutt's going to start to sink in a little bit. The rumors are going to start sinking in, and people are going to start to smell the coffee's not what it was before, huh?
Well, I have noticed that the light that is pressing into us now, I've noticed the people in this area are very receptive to that. They're very playful, childlike people. So they're very receptive to what's happening in the environment. And they're receiving it, and they're integrating it, and they're playing with it. So I've noticed that in this area.
Yeah. Okay. So do we give do we give Mexico back California, or we give California to Mexico? How are we going to do it? Since we're going to turn over all these, we're going to make everyone sovereign. Seems to me somebody took somebody from... Anyway, it wasn't that funny. Sorry. I was just on topic that it seems to me that we have too many states in America. That's all I know. So I am anxious to work on that one, why we need 50 states in America. What would be a solution to that?
You know.
Yeah. You just got to pull the rug out. Look at all the revenue. And this is my great encouragement for someone to bring a project forward. Look at all the community revenue, and look at all the federal revenue that comes from you when you go to work and when you buy things and so forth. And look how much is wasted just from the way our organizational alignment is used. I'll give you one microcosm. We could start with the education system and many others, but here's a tremendous overlap that makes no sense to me. I live in a town, and I have a police officer there, and a police department, and police vehicles, police resources, and jails. In a county that has a policeman, police cars, a jail, facilities, infrastructure, and I have state policemen, administration, cars, vehicles, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so in most American states, we have three tiers of police. Wait a minute, we forgot about the National Guard, the Army, the Navy, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so let's just keep it with the municipal level. I know we're going to run out of time here. Why is it that we need three different police departments in the same geography? You're going to argue because you have a state, and all the counties make up the subset of the state. So you actually have states within states, and then you have cities within those counties. So you actually have states within states within states, in my example. All right. So what value does my observation bring to the population? Do you see the value in having three different tiers of police forces in what is assumed to be one state? Can you find a connection there? Where would there be value?
It would be value for the bad guys to take more taxes, probably.
Yeah, and not allow us to organize. So now, well, we got to ask the city guys what they want to do there. The county guys get their money from your property taxes. The city guys get it from revenue from the parking tickets, et cetera, and sales tax in the town in some cases. And the state gets it from everything. So it's really so we can't stay aligned in communication. So that's my big suggestion, how we remodel our municipalities in North America. So that's my suggestion. If we could get someone to come together with that one, I would be all ears. And I like talking to mayors, and I love talking to governors, especially the Washington State governor. Love talking to that guy. So anyway, that's my great encouragement. If we get some people working on that one, and that's my joke about him being in jail, but nobody got it, I don't think. You can't hang out with Bill Gates and not expect to get in trouble. Sorry, I'm going to take some pot shots. All right, we better close out.
Okay.
I am so thrilled that I get to work with all of you all. Please keep pulling on me. And stay tuned. Keep up with the web pages. Send loves and kisses to Asha every day you look at that webpage. And it'll be my great thrill to do this again next week. I love you, Asha.
I love you, Q. And thank you to Christopher and Kristen for all your hard work and your love. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Q. Thank you, Don. Happy everything.
Hey, I nazz you all. Bye-bye.
I nazz you all. Bye.